warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Yes, you're tuned to Radio Islam International. The program is called Mind, Body and Chow. This is the first edition. You've asked for this program and alhamdulillah, you received it. In a few seconds time, we'll be joined by Ronald Abaji. He'll be doing the on-air workout and also talking about, you know, how far should people be in terms of their health and fitness related New Year resolutions. Also, biggest mistakes people make when trying to lose weight. And also, what is the number one thing people have resolved to do in terms of health and fitness in the New Year. So that's coming up, inshallah, in a few seconds time. Also, at about a quarter to two, we'll be joined by Janine Shamos. She's a transformation coach and she'll be talking about comfort foods. And what are comfort foods and why do we turn to comfort foods? Well, this will be the topic for the discussion today, inshallah. So that's coming up at about a quarter to two. But right now, it's time for the verbal fitness sessions.
Don't be. It's time for verbal fitness sessions on Mind, Body and Chat.
Yes, indeed. It's time for the verbal fitness sessions and Ronald Abaji, fitness and wellness expert, joins us on the line now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, brother? You well?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. Your side, how's all things?
So far, so good. Enjoying the second month of February. I hope everybody's keeping fit and healthy way into the year.
Indeed, and if they aren't, we're here to help them to reach those levels, inshallah. Ronald, I hope you've done your stretches and all of that. I've done mine. So are we ready for the workout?
You know, very simple workout today. We're going to focus on cardio, get the blood pumping, get the blood flowing, focusing on our heart health, but also to help you burn some fat.
Okay, let's go.
All right, first things first, we're going to gently jog on the spot. So nothing hectic, just nice and easy, jogging on the spot. Off you go, and this is your warm-up, okay? So go, 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 go. This warm-up you do for about 60 seconds just to ensure that you begin to mobilize the blood throughout the body, that the blood is flowing, you minimize injury, and you're warming the body up, preparing it for some intense activity ahead. Nice and easy, get the arms moving, nice jogging, nothing too hectic. You shouldn't be huffing and puffing, all right? 10 more seconds for the warm-up. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and relax it down. Now, from that position, I want us to imagine we're doing a bit of kickboxing now.
Right.
So you're going to be kicking out in front of you. So facing forward, feet shoulder-width apart, you're going to lift one knee up to your chest and kick it out, your foot out in front of you by straightening the knee out, and then alternate legs. So lift your knee, kick it out, and drop it down. Other leg. Lift your knee, kick it out and down. These are called front kicks. Now the front kicks you're going to do at a fairly quick pace for about 30 seconds. Are you ready? Let's go. Left kick, right kick, left kick, right kick, left kick, right kick. What this exercise does is it mobilizes the joints, the hip joints in particular, works the hamstring or the back of the leg, works the quadricep, but also allows you to engage the entire lower body to ensure that you get a great cardio workout. Keep going. Left, right. Left kick, right kick, left kick, right kick. Keep it going nonstop, almost done. 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, and 1. Relax it down. All right, the next one, brother Jaz. I want us to go feet wider than shoulder width apart.
Okay.
Bend those knees as though you're doing a mini squat.
Right.
All right, and I want you to jump up and try to touch the ceiling.
Oh.
And as you land, you're going to land as softly as a cat. So it's a very soft landing. And as you land, you bend your knees again straight into the squat. So let's go. Squat down, jump up, gently squat down, jump up, squat down, jump up, squat down. I call these the jump raises because you're literally jumping, trying to raise yourself up and then softly landing. This you do for 30 seconds. I can hear you jumping, you're back
in
good spirits, back in good health, I hear you jumping.
That's proof that I'm doing it.
High as you can and softly as you can as you land. Keep going, jump, jump, jump. Jump. Now with this exercise, it really burns the legs. You're going to get out of breath. Keep it going, keep it going. 10 more. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and relax.
Sure.
Yeah, sure is the right word to use. All right, now to end this cardio workout, I want us to go back to the first exercise we did, the jogging on the spot.
Okay.
But I want you to now sprint on the spot.
Sprint.
Lifting your knee up as high as you can, pumping your arms as fast as you can. You've got 30 seconds of sprinting. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go. Go, 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 go. Sprint, sprint, sprint. Arms moving. Knees moving as high as you can. Go, go, go. Soft landing. Keep it going. Arms moving. Go, go, go. 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. I can hear the feet tapping. 3, 2, and relax it down. Quick and easy cardio, high intensity cardio, to make sure that you look after your heart health and burn the fat.
I'm still catching my breath.
That's a good thing. It means it works, but it does, you know?
It is. Now, it's February already, Ronald. How far should people be in terms of health and fitness-related New Year's resolutions?
You know, more often than not, you find that the statistics show us that, on average, 70% of people don't do their New Year's resolutions into February, especially on the health and fitness side of things. It's a great intention. You know, they made the year in the beginning of the year. But moving into February, we find a lot wane off. And the reason is very simple. It's because they haven't allocated the right goals. They haven't really put in the right systems and structures to ensure that they stick to their fitness and health goals. Because it's not easy to suddenly get healthier, to suddenly get exercise into your lifestyle, to suddenly start, you know, being a lot more conscious of your health and of your body.
Yes.
So that is why we find so many wane off. So the reality is this, is we need to go revisit those goals. And as you revisit those goals, you really go back and say, all right, what was my goal? Was my goal to lose 25 kilos in a month? The reality is this, it's not going to happen. So go back and say, right, I want to rather lose 1 to 1.5 kilos a week and focus on that. By having those micro goals in place, you'll be able to stick to it more often.
Yes.
You then say to yourself, who did I tell my goals to? You know, did I put it on Twitter? Did I put it on Instagram? Did I tell my mother? Did I tell my friends? Because that way they can hold you accountable and you have a support structure around you. If you find it difficult by yourself, then you create a group and then you start exercising and eating healthy together, challenging each other. So there's many ways to beat those potential risk factors that stop you from that, from achieving your health resolutions already in the beginning of Feb.
Yeah, I'd advise not to put it on Facebook or Twitter because nazar.
That you didn't know, that's also very true, you know. So you keep close to your home, you keep you close to those that are there with you, and it then motivates you. And you know what? If you're a parent and you want to advise your kids and really inspire them, then you've got to set the example yourself, you know. It's no use you eating 3 plates of biryani at night because you didn't have lunch, but you're going to tell, no, you can't put on weight, you must have a salad. That doesn't work.
Practice what you preach, yeah.
That's easy said than done, because I know, you know, even myself, I have a sweet tooth. And, you know, I often end up snacking on something sweet and then look at my little one and say, all right, you shouldn't have that, but I should be doing the same thing. So even though you're an expert in something, we always have to keep ourselves in check, you know. And who keeps me in check is my wife, and that's the brilliant thing. That's our support network in the family. What's your support network in your family?
Yep, it's family. It's all around, you know, people trying to wait for you to age. So you got to keep them waiting. So
let them wait. Age gracefully and age more streamlined.
Inshallah. Now, Ronald, what is the number one thing that people have resolved to do in terms of health and fitness in the new year? What is it? You know.
You know, the number one thing that people have resolved to do is really go along the route of extreme. You know, we spoke a few weeks back about bigorexia.
Yes.
But the other thing that's very big in the media right now is anorexia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been models internationally that have gone on a campaign to educate young girls and boys on the dangers of anorexia, because it becomes a psychological issue that manifests itself physically. So, meaning that you begin to think you're overweight, you think you're fat, so you either don't eat or you go the bulimic route where you eat and then you go to the bathroom and, you know, put your finger down your throat to throw up all the food that you've eaten, because you believe yourself to be overweight, but you're actually not overweight.
Hmm.
So this is a big international issue that's out there. And I mean, I know that, I mean, my wife and I and the family went on a holiday this weekend, and we saw so many thin people that are borderline anorexic.
Hmm.
And on the same breath, we saw so many people that were obese, that were morbidly obese. And this is even from children that we've seen. So we need to be conscious thereof and don't go to the extremes of fasting diets and not eating for 16 to 24 hours. You need to go to and not the extremes of having every supplement under the sun because you're looking for fat burners. Find the balance and live healthy. Eat healthy, be conscious of what you eat, be conscious of your activity levels, and you will achieve your goals.
Indeed. Now, reminder to the listeners, the lines are open, 011-854-1548. You can SMS 48855. You can WhatsApp 072-786-1548. Or you can tweet us at EJAZ_K. You're listening to Mind, Body and Chow. And we've got Ronald Evergy, a fitness and wellness expert, on the line with us. And finally, Ronald, biggest mistakes that people make when trying to lose weight.
You know, the biggest mistake that people make is that there's a couple of them. You know, one is you look at it from a measurement perspective. So they stand on the scale every day, three times a day, to see, okay, have I gained weight, have I gained weight? And that is one thing that they shouldn't be doing. There are different ways to assess, are you losing weight, gaining weight, or not doing any of the above. That's number one. Number two...
And then the line dropped. We'll try and get Ronald on, inshallah, back for that answer. Very important. The question is, biggest mistakes that people make when it comes to losing weight. And Ronald was giving us the rundown there on what people should be doing or shouldn't be doing. So we'll get him on, inshallah, in a few seconds' time. Just a reminder once again that we'll be speaking to Janine Shamos in about 3 minutes or so, inshallah. She's a transformation coach. We'll be discussing what is comfort food. When do people turn to comfort foods, and how does comfort food make us feel? So, inshallah, that's coming up in a few minutes' time. Just going to find out if we've got Ronald on the line. Assalamu alaikum, Ronald.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Jaz, are you there?
Yep, we were stuck at number two.
Number two is, of course, yes. Be careful of all the pills, potions, and powders. Don't believe all the hype around it. Rather go for a real solution that is real food, real portion control, etc. Because if you rely on pills and potions, you'll get false results, and obviously you'll pick up the weight as you go on and stop those. The last thing for you to do, and people need to be very, very careful of, is stop following deprivational or fad diets.
Mm.
You know, people tend to that, no, you must have hot water and lemon every morning, or no, you must have 10 liters of water every day, or no, you can only eat chocolate today, and those kinds of things.
Yep.
Be very careful thereof, because by restricting your food intake, you begin to eliminate essential vitamins, minerals, and nutrients. My philosophy is very simple. Rather adjust your strategy of eating. Change your plate size. Number one, that already
Before you go, before you carry on, Ronald, I have to interrupt you. We've got a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
I have a question for a 22-year-old that has regular gymming but needs to pick up weight. Any good advice? Thank you.
JazakAllah for that, sister. Ronald, you want to take this?
Thank you so much for that question. And you know what? Many people focus on weight loss only, but they forget that also weight gain is an important component for many. Now, when you look at weight gain, remember you want to gain muscle rather than fat.
Mm.
It's very easy to gain fat. Just go eat anything and everything and don't exercise.
Egg, potato with butter,
But what you need to do, sister, you need to check your calorie intake. So don't be afraid of carbohydrates. If you're going to the gym, you need to supplement your body by the right proteins, yes, but also by the right carbohydrates. So my advice to gain weight and muscle mass in particular, let's rephrase that, is to have the right carbohydrates. So cycle your carbohydrates. So in the morning, have a slice of bread with some egg, but also then have the a smoothie, perhaps. You know, have that with it. Then in your snack, you have a protein snack. At lunchtime, you have, again, your maybe bread and, not bread, but you'd rather have brown rice with salad and veggies and a protein. It sounds like a lot, but it's not really a lot, but it allows you to increase your carbohydrate intake, which will then be utilized by your body as glucose and energy to fuel muscle bulk, your protein, with your heavy exercise that you are doing. That's my advice for anyone wanting to gain weight.
Brilliant stuff, Ronald. And see how quick our time has come to an end. Before we let you go, Ronald, we're discussing with Janine Shamos in a few seconds' time on comfort foods. So what is your comfort food? What do you go to?
I go to my wife's chicken pie. She makes it amazingly, and I have that chicken pie so much that I end up like a starfish on the dining room floor where I pass out. So there's nothing better than my wife's chicken and mushroom pie.
Brilliant stuff. And I see there's no trouble with comfort food as long as you work it off, isn't it?
You know, work it off, but also some reliance on comfort food, because as I'm sure that your next expert will tell you, it becomes an emotional issue.
Yes.
You're not emotional eaters. Be careful thereof. But you know what? go to your mother, go to your father, go to your spouse, and rather get a hug. It's more comforting than food will ever be.
Definitely, 100%. And Ronald, we thank you for your time, brother. We'll pick it up tomorrow, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for getting it, you know, getting us up and running, you know. Excuse the pun. Thanks for getting us up and running. And we'll take it up, inshallah, tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening,
my
man.
Brother. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, Ronald Evergy, fitness and wellness expert there, giving us some good advice. And now, from the fitness, from the body side of things, we move to the mind segment. And we join on the line by Janine Shamos. She's a transformation coach. We welcome her right at this moment. Janine, good welcome, good evening or good afternoon, rather, and welcome to the program.
Thank you for being here. I will not qualify a time zone.
Yeah, just there was a Freudian slip there. You know, we've got listeners all over the world, so it could be for any one of them. So, yeah, excuse me for that one. Janine, what is a comfort food? Tell us.
So, when you're in your comfort zone, it's a place where you feel comfortable. It's a terrible use of words. Where you feel that there's expectations that you can fit into, that you're at peace. And very often, you know, it's uncomfortable can be comfortable. It's what we know. It's what we are used to. And that isn't always a good thing.
Now, when do we turn to comfort foods? How does comfort food make us feel?
I think everyone can probably relate. You have a stressful day. You're having a bad day. You've had a nightmare. You've had a fight with someone. Mm-hmm. What is the instinctive thing that you reach for? You know, food fills a physical side of us. You know, we're hungry, we need to eat. But it also fills an emotional side. So if I'm sitting, I'm an ice cream baby, so happy, sad, stressed, whatever, I eat ice cream.
Okay.
So that first spoon, what is my go-to food? And I go, okay, I feel better. Okay, so this is all right. And you keep eating it. And that sense of comfort food is the food that literally makes you feel back in your comfort space, back in your secure environment, but we keep doing it, and that could be a problem.
Now, reminder to the listeners, the lines are open, 011-854-1548. You can SMS 48855. You can WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. Or you can tweet me at EJAZ_K. We're speaking to transformation coach Janine Shamos. We're talking comfort foods. Now, speaking on comfort foods, Janine, we see we've asked people to send in their comfort foods, and we see Masiu Laraja saying Coke is number one on the list. Naima saying my mother's primavera with the homemade focaccia, chocolate cake or pecan nut biscuits. We see Fatima Sirat saying chocolate ganache cake covered in flake. Hey, they're making us less here. But now, give us, why do people go, let's start with the Masiula's one, Coke. Why would, does Coke qualify as a comfort food?
It does. Comfort foods generally have a high sugar content, and I think we could check most of those, or a high carbohydrate content. So carbohydrates and sugars stimulate serotonin, and that is our happy drug, our happy chemical in our brain. So you're unlikely to have somebody, I mean, I wish we did this, but it's unlikely that in a moment of stress, your comfort food is going to be a celery stick. You're going to go for sugar, you're going to go for carbohydrates, and very often the two together. So chocolate cake, there's your carbs, there's your high sugar content.
Then someone says cheese. Why would they go to cheese?
I'm with that person with cheese. I'm apparently called the little rat in the house because midnight I go and I snack on cheese in the fridge. But I think cheese, if you're a dairy person, very often dairy is your go-to food. So a glass of milk, ice cream, custard, you know, those kind of things. And cheese also has high protein contents. So that's going to stimulate different chemicals in your brain. That is going to make you feel calmer, more at ease. The problem, of course, with cheese is if you eat cheese at night, chances are you're probably going to have nightmares that night because it takes a long time to digest.
Ah, so I thought that was a myth about cheese and nightmares.
No, it's real.
Now, salt and vinegar crisp. Okay, that's from Aisha Mayat Awich. She says, salt and vinegar crisp. Why would you go that route?
Again, it's your carbohydrates with your crisps. Mm-hmm. And very often there's that sense of the vinegar and the salt. A lot of people who say they crave sweet things, actually what they're craving is salt. And you find that they might have an iodine or potassium shortage. So that you're eating sugar, but what your body's actually needing is salt. So there might be a bit of a, you know, a medical, not a problem, but, you know, your body does crave salt, and then the parts. And chips are absolutely probably one of the worst things to eat, especially at night. So a message to them. Always brush your teeth after eating chips, because they collect in all our crevices and can cause tooth decay.
Okay. Now, Fahima Hendrik saying something salty, usually a few crisps, and then dark chocolate straight after that. So it's like salty, sweet, and sour. And she's adding here cappuccino and also China fruit.
I'm so going to visit all of these people. And you see the continuity there, the continuity. The dark chocolate, you're getting that sense of it's a sweet taste. Still the sugar content, but that high cocoa content, and there's your carbohydrate again, that sweet and sour mix.
Okay,
tantalizes taste buds, yeah.
A question that just came to mind now, Janine. What happens if your comfort food of choice, for some odd reason or whatever, is not available, then people like panic? What should they be doing at that moment in time?
So, looking at if your default food is... So I think I told you, idli is my comfort food, but it's very unavailable for me. I have no idea how to make it, and I have one family friend who makes it, and she lives a really far distance away, so I don't get it very often. But that craving is there. So ask yourself, what is it that I'm actually craving? And when you go to your comfort food, try and almost be mindful of what you're eating. What is it that's drawing me to this? Is it the sensation? Is it the texture? Is it maybe like with salt and vinegar chips, I'm biting it, so there's a crunch, but also there's that, ooh, that kind of feel? Or is it the sugary melt with chocolate? You know, that, what is the payoff that you're getting? And then try and substitute for something healthier or more available.
All right. Now, Janine, on the show, we're not supposed to be only just talking about comfort foods and getting people to, you know, to less and their mouths to water as we speak. We want to help them out. So, you know, cooking is about more than just the ingredients. Now, how we feel when we are preparing food, is that important? And maybe you can give some mindful preps on the subject.
So, absolutely important. Anybody who's cooked out there or who cooks often will know that the way you prepare food when you're feeling happy is very different to when you're feeling stressed or angry. And the outcome is very different. So if anybody's out there who doesn't listen to follow recipes, who adds a touch of that and a bit of that, you'll know that you never make the same dish exactly the same twice. And a lot of it has to do with emotion. So if I'm really engrossed in what I'm doing and I'm loving making dinner and I'm feeling calm, I'm putting a lot more energy into what I'm cooking, and the outcome will bear the taste test. So it is important to be mindful. And, you know, whenever I say that word, it sounds a little bit hippy-grippy to me, sort of a mindful. But it's really being present in the moment. So if I think of feta cheese, for example, don't cut it on a plate. Pick it up. Crumble it with your fingers. Feel what it feels like. When you're using different spices, it's very easy to just, you know, a shaker or a grinder. Actually pick it up. Smell everything before you put it into the dish. Stir slowly. Smell the different flavors and see the different textures. And that just centers you and makes you more grounded in that moment. And it also helps you calm your emotional state and certainly helps your dish at the end of the day.
Reminder to the listeners, you're listening to Radio Islam International. The program is called Mind, Body and Chow. Our guest on the line is Janine Shamos, and she is talking to us about comfort foods and how different people have different sort of comfort foods that they go towards, and she's trying to help us, you know, overcome those issues as well. And Janine, how does food taste different as well, you know, depending on your mood at the time?
So I think very often, you know, you can put food in front of people, the same food, the same dish, depending on how we feel, it's going to taste differently because we have different chemicals operating in our brain at that time, and our thoughts are elsewhere. So I remember I was walking through a shopping center, and there was a guy with a chocolate bar, and he bit into it, but I think the whole shopping center stopped and stared at him because he savored every bite. And I thought, I think I was just going on a shove, shove, shovel, you know, we didn't taste it. But I think everyone went to buy chocolate after that because of the way he ate it. And I think very often, you know, when we're eating, if you're angry, for example, your thoughts are somewhere else. Our body is different. We're tense. Our jaw's tight. Our shoulders are clenched. You can't possibly enjoy food. And if you think of the way you eat when you're angry as opposed to when you're relaxed, when we're relaxed, we chew, we talk while we, you know, through the meal. We're far more relaxed. We smell things differently. So the food, you might get up and go, that was delicious. You had the same thing last week when you were in a bad mood and you said it was disgusting. So, you know, we emotionally, our bodies dictate and our emotions dictate a lot of what we behave, our behavior, our taste buds, really our reactions to the world around us.
Now, Janine, is it a myth that if you're angry or you're fighting just before a meal, there's more chances of you picking up weight after eating that meal? Is that just a myth?
Yes and no. Yes and no. So we know that continual stress, and when I say stress, it could be continual anger, continual panic, continual, you know, fight or flight, does actually lead to weight gain because we hold on to fat differently. So if you look at somebody who's got the stereotypical spare tire and all the abdominal weight and around their tummies, that's very often a stress-fat reaction. So that is where your body stores it. People who are storing fat because they're not exercising or just because that's how their metabolism works, generally the fat's going to be more distributed. So if you are eating after having a fight, and that seems to be a pattern, that there's always an argument, maybe you've got little kids and dinner time's a fight, and you always sit down and you're grumpy, you're probably going to pick up weight, and that's probably your stress weight. Is it true that if you eat off someone else's plate, then you don't get the fat? No, unfortunately not.
Janine, thank you so much for all your advices today. This show has flown by, and I wish we had more time, but I'm hoping that you'll be able to join us more regularly on the program. We thank you, Janine, for all your insights. You have yourself a wonderful day, and maybe we'll pick it up next week.
Wonderful. That would be fantastic. Thank you to all your listeners as well.
All right, then. Bye-bye. That was Janine Seamus talking to us about comfort foods. Very, very interesting indeed. And just a reminder that on the program Mind, Body and Chow, we start off with exercises. And then after that, when your mind is more clearer, then we discuss issues regards to mind and well-being, you know, mental well-being. And if time permits, I wanted to add something called 2-Minute Foodles, where we talk about foods towards the end. But this topic was sort of covering both angles, the mind and the food aspect. So we hope it's been of some benefit to you, inshallah. But remember, you can always interact with us on the program. The lines are open from the start. You can SMS, WhatsApp, tweet. Let us know how you felt about day one of Mind, Body and Chow. I see we do have 2 minutes, so maybe we can insert this 2-minute foodles. I wanted to speak about the, you know, food myths. And myth number one is that high protein intake is harmful to your kidneys. Now, the origin comes from 1983. Researchers first discovered that eating more protein increases your GFR. Think of GFR as the amount of blood your kidneys are filtering per minute. From this finding, many scientists made the leap that a higher GFR places your kidneys under greater stress. So what if scientists found out? Nearly 2 decades ago, Dutch researchers found that while a protein-rich meal did boost GFR, it doesn't have an adverse effect on all overall kidney function. In fact, there's zero published research showing that downing heavy amounts of protein, especially up to 1.27 grams per pound of body weight a day, damages your health kidneys. The bottom line is, as a rule of thumb, shoot to eat your target, you should eat your target body weight in grams of protein daily. I think they eat them last year. For example, if you're 200 pounds and you want to be a lean 180, then have 180 grams of protein a day. That's what they're saying. Yeah. Likewise, if you're skinny 150, then but you want to be a muscular 180, then obviously eat more. So that is your myth for today. High protein intake is not harmful, or is harmful to your kidneys. Very confusing article this is indeed. But we've come to the end of the program.